And prepare our hearts this morning to receive God's word. Let us pick up a Bible from the pew, raise it up, and together say the words that are up on the screen. This is my Bible, the word of God. It is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. Lord, open my ears to receive it and prepare my heart to contain it. I submit my will to it as the final authority in my life. Speak now, Lord Jesus, while I listen. Amen. Please be seated. The Lord be with you. I bring to you this morning again grace and mercy and peace from God our Father, his beloved Son, Jesus Christ, and the Holy Spirit who calls us together into fellowship. Today we celebrate All Saints Sunday. And on this day, we give thanks to God for the church living and departed. So every time you hear about All Saints Sunday, it is the time that the church gathers to give glory and praise to God for the church. And that includes those who have gone before us and those of us who are yet here on the earth. We remember those who have finished the course and have rested from their labors. Just like St. Paul, who is one of those who have gone and finished his course, he wrote in 2 Timothy 4:7, I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. And he says, I have kept the faith. All right, so we celebrate those people this morning. Speaking of those who have rested from their labors, Paul writes these words in Hebrews 12, verse 1. He writes, therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. So Paul here is telling us why we are in this race. All right? The objective of being in this race, the reason we are in this race, he says this in the first part of the verse. He says, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses. Now, because of them, we have to continue to persevere as we are in this race. The great cloud of witnesses he's talking about are those who were here before us, who served the Lord, the missionaries, the pastors, the lay workers in the church, and the people who did the things of God on the earth that have gone on into glory. They left their marks here, and he's saying that now that we are surrounded by them, he says, let us run our own race with perseverance, okay? And so we celebrate this day remembering those people, reminding ourselves of the works that they worked on the earth before they left. In a few minutes from now, we'll be hearing the names of those who are special to us, who have gone on before us, and that will be followed by the ringing of the bell. As we call the names, we ring the bell. And we're going to see that there's going to be a very, very, very emotional, a sensitive moment as we do that. But we also remember on this day the great privileges and blessings of being saints of God. The great privileges and blessings of being a Christian. Why we are Christians. So from our reading this morning, I'd like to highlight two of the major privileges and blessings we have from being made saints of God. Two of them. And the first one is the fact that we are lost in his love. All right? It is a blessing and a privilege to be lost in the love of God. And so in 1 John 3, verse 1a, it reads, see what great love the Father has lavished on us. John writes, see what great love the Father has lavished on us. First, we see that we are in a great love relationship with our Father in heaven. We are in a great love relationship with God, just in case you don't know it. All right, whether we feel it or not, let me let you know that God loves us so greatly, and the amount of love that God has for us so great that we cannot even comprehend it, all right? And so the best way to describe it is like using our own romantic relationship, how God did this, all right? Now, never in your lifetime have you seen a guy meet a woman for the first time, a girl for the first time, and he just went and fell on her knees with a pair of rings and said, "Would you marry me?" All right? Why wouldn't he do that? The reason is because the woman will resist, and the woman will put up resistance and maybe even shout and say, "Get away from me." The reason she wouldn't accept the ring is because she doesn't know this guy. Every woman is looking for a level of security before she enters into a relationship. And this is why the guy has to, you know, not only speak the words, but act it out by the things he does. All right? And so he has to build that level of trust by doing a certain thing and being around this woman for a while and loving her and caring for her. And then at some point down the line, he gets on his knee with a pair of rings and says, "Would you marry me?" When he does that, she goes, "Yes, yes, yes." Because she's sure of this relationship. She has confidence in this guy. So it is with God. God had to demonstrate to us his love. And that's why the Bible tells us in Romans 5, verse 8. But God demonstrated his love for us in this. It says, "While we were still sinners, Christ died for us." All right? So God demonstrated that love not just by words, but he did it in action. And the action that he carried out was an action that took his life on the cross of Calvary. God says, "I love you so much that I would die for you." All right? And he literally died for us on the cross. John 3:16 lets us know, "For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, so that whosoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life." That "gave his one and only Son" in that text is talking about the fact that Jesus died on the cross. God gave his Son to die for the sin of the world. All right? And because of that, now when he comes to you and comes to me, looking at what he did on the cross for us, it leaves us with nothing but to bow before the cross and just give ourselves away to him. All right? And that's why we come to Jesus Christ, and he comes to us and says, "Can I have a relationship with you?" And you go, "Yes, Lord, you can have a relationship with me," because he demonstrated that love on the cross of Calvary. It is a great love because of these things. First, it is steadfast. The love of God is steadfast, all right? When we talk about it being steadfast, we're talking about it being firm, and it is trusted. It is the love that is firm, and it is the love that you can trust in, all right? In Psalm 86, verse 15, God says these words. He says, "But you, O Lord, are a great merciful and a God merciful and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love and faithfulness." All right? So God abounds in steadfast love. His love is steadfast. It's not shaky. It is not here today and it's gone tomorrow. It is always there. And the reason why we walk away from God is because we don't understand the level of his love toward us. And so when we mess up in life, we walk away from God. And we look at God like we see our earthly fathers who would get upset and don't want to talk to us and stuff like that. We treat God that way. But God is so much in love, full of love and compassion, that you cannot compare him to anything on the earth. Nothing, folks. And so his arms are stretched wide. His love is steadfast. It means it is firm and it is always there no matter what the situation is. God is looking to continue that relationship with us. All right? We don't walk away from God. When we walk away, we miss God. God is like the sun. All right? And we are like the moon. So we take light from God. And if for any reason the sun is away from the moon or block away from the moon, it doesn't have light at all. So when you see during the time in the night when you see that there is no sun, it is because the sun is blocked away from the moon is blocked away from the sun, and so we don't get moonlight at night. But once that moon is in line with the sun, we get light at night. And that's how we are. We get out of line. God doesn't get out of line. God is always there. His love is always there. It's always steadfast, all right? And he's looking for us to come to him. No matter what the situation is in your life, God is calling you to him. So that love is steadfast. The love is a sealed love. It is not only a steadfast love, but it's a sealed love. What I'm talking about is it is engrafted. We are engrafted into this love. It is like when you take a seal and you seal a paper, all right? You seal a paper. You cannot take that seal from that paper. To move this, remove the seal from the paper, you got to destroy that paper, all right? That's how God is when his love comes into our hearts and he engrafts himself into us. Look what Jesus says in the prayer he prayed in John 17, verse 23. He says, I in them, you in me, so that they may be brought to complete unity. I in them, you in me. Look at that kind of unity. Look at that kind of connection. Look at how sealed we are in God through Jesus Christ. If for the devil to get to us, the devil has to, you know, break apart Jesus Christ and then get to God and break God apart to get to us. We are so sealed in God that nothing can easily reach to us. And that's how God, that's how connected we are with Jesus Christ. And so we are sealed in God. So it is not only a steadfast love, it is not only a sealed love, but it is a sinless love. Sinless in the fact that it is pure. The love of God is pure. In John 17, 1 John 3:3, it reads, and all who have this hope in him purify themselves even as he is pure. The love of God is pure. When God came down to the earth, he came with that holiness. He came with that purity. He told the children of Israel in the Old Testament, be holy as I am holy. He says the same thing to us in the book of 1 Peter, be holy as I am holy. Because he comes with a holy relationship. And that relationship brings purity. That's why Jesus went on the cross and died, folks. Why did he die? He died for the sin of the world. Jesus did not die to show us how powerful he was, but he died for the sin of the world. And if he died for the sin of the world, and he died to bring us into this relationship with him, it means that the relationship God is bringing us into is a holy one. All right? So he makes a way for us to experience that holiness through the cross, through the blood of Jesus Christ. We become cleansed and we become sanctified. And not only that, but he also makes that way through allowing us, through his grace, to have confession, to have absolution, to come back to him. Whatever the term may be, God has established a way to bring us back. He didn't just die on the cross and walk away, but he died on the cross to keep that relationship going, to keep that holiness going. So he is holy. And the way we grow from that holiness is by coming through Jesus Christ. And so God is sinless. And then the last thing is, it is an eternal love that God brings to us. It is not only steadfast, it is not only sealed, it is not only sinless, but it is eternal. Look, it is the love that comes forever. In Jeremiah 31, verse 3a, he says, I have loved you with an everlasting love. All right? I have loved you with an everlasting love. It means the love does not stop at a particular point, but the love that God brings to us is the love that continues on through all eternity. It's the love that God shares with you and I. You see, it is different from the love that we share with one another. When a man and a woman gets together in marriage, they stand at the altar. We ask them the question, will you love, cherish, and love him in sickness and in health, in diversity and prosperity, in good time and bad time, as long as you both shall live? And the person says, I will. Well, when we say as long as you both shall live, that tells you that this love is a temporal love that comes to an end at a particular time in life. But the love that Jesus brings, folks, listen, it's an eternal love. It's a love that never ceases. It's a love that stays on throughout all eternity. And when we get to heaven, it'll be there. The hymn song writes, perfect submission all is at rest. This is the hymn song that the titles, This Is My Story, This Is My Song. One of the verses in it says, perfect submission, all is at rest. I'm in my Savior, I'm happy and blessed, watching and waiting, looking above. It says, filled with his goodness and what? Lost in his love. The question to you this morning, are you lost in the love of God? Are you really truly lost in this love that he brings to us? There are just some of the things that John saw that made him to shout out in this text. See what great love the Father has lavished on us. As he looks back on all of these things that God has given to us, he shouts out, see what great love the Father has lavished on us. So we are lost in his love, not just lost in his love, but we are called children of God. All right? We are called children of God. Look in John 3, verse 1. It says that we should be called children of God, and that is what we are. That we should be called children of God, and that is what we are. The verse has to do with a legal transfer of title. All right? A legal transfer of title is what John is talking about in this verse. A spiritual adoption program is what God has entered into. All right? It's like a child who goes from one shelter to another, or one foster home to another. And then finally, this child gets adopted into a home, and then he has a legal name now, and everything about this child changes. This is exactly what happens with us and God. Before God adopted us, we were like a ship without a sail. We were on the sea, and then we were being blown by every wind that came. And we blew in every direction. The wind, wherever the wind wanted us to go, was where we went. But when God came, he took us out of that ship and put us into his boat. And then he put a sail on the top of that boat. And now we are sailing into a particular direction and never again to be drifted away by any kind of wind, because Jesus Christ is the pilot of that boat. Give God a hand of praise for Jesus this morning. So Jesus is the one, and so he is leading us. He is the one who has adopted us into this family. But for us, what makes it even sweeter is the fact that we came in as newborn babies. All right? We came into this family as newborn babies according to the Bible. And you know, when a newborn baby is adopted, the baby knows nothing about what really happened. So it makes it even sweeter. And we came in new because the scripture tells us in John 3:3, Jesus says, you must be born again. All right? The spirit of man was dead in trespasses, dead in sin. And then Jesus Christ came and brought us back to new life in him. But we came in as new babies. And the Bible tells us in 1 Peter 2:2, like new babies desire the sincere milk of the word. Because when a person gets born again, this person becomes a child. This person comes into faith like a new baby. And this is what we were when we came into faith in Jesus Christ. And with this change of title comes some new entitlements. All right? The first one is the security. The security that it brings to us. Romans 8:15 says, the spirit you receive does not make you slaves, so that you live in fear again. There is no longer time to live in fear again, because the spirit that we have does not cause us to live in fear any longer. We have the security of God in us, and we are so secure by the fact that we have been sealed into the redemptive work of God. So we have no reason to be afraid any longer. No reason. So we are secure in God. That's one of the entitlements that we have. The second one is the authority that God has given us. In Romans 8:15 says, rather, the spirit you received brought about your adoption to sonship. All right? That's the security we have. We have the adoption to sonship in Jesus Christ. We are sons and daughters of God. It gives us that authority. Because why? All authority has been given to Jesus Christ, the Bible says, both in heaven and on the earth. And so if we are sons of God, if we have been adopted into Christ, and we are hidden in Jesus Christ, then it means that we have been given the authority that Jesus has, the authority over evil spirits, the authority over demons, the authority over the works of darkness. And this is the reason the scripture lets us know that at the sound of the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow, every tongue shall confess that Jesus is Lord. And we use that name, and that name brings about victory. Because we are in Jesus and we have that authority, folks. We have that authority not to be in bondage any longer. The bondage to sin has been broken on the cross of Calvary. The curse has been broken on the cross of Calvary. And we have authority in Jesus. And in his name, we are able to do great things. We are able to succeed in the name of Jesus Christ. And let nothing stand in the way. Because greater is he that is in me than he who is in this world. Jesus Christ. Not only that we have security or we have authority, but look at the intimacy that we share with God. The Bible tells us in Romans 8:15b, by him we cry, Abba Father. By him we cry, Abba Father. You see, when we interpret this word, Abba Father, it is talking about the word daddy. Imagine your child calling you daddy. It's the kind of thing that we are referring to when we say Abba Father from this text. We cry out, our Father. Jesus says, when you pray, you say, Abba Father, who art in heaven. And when we pray and shout out and say, our Father, who art in heaven, we are saying, God, you are my daddy. There is a level of intimacy that we have with God, an intimacy that demons and devils don't have. An intimacy that the man who has not come to faith in Jesus Christ doesn't have. You see, but we share that with God, and we can call him our Father in heaven. You know what happens when we call God our Father? The spiritual demonic world shakes when we call God our Father. All right? We are speaking to the God of the creator of the heavens and the earth. We are saying that he is our Father, the one who owns everything. All power belongs to him. It's the one that we're calling on when we say Abba Father. Next thing is the assurance. In Romans 8 verse 16, it says, the Spirit testify with our spirits that we are children of God. The assurance that the Spirit of God brings to us in this relationship is so important and so unique. You know, sometimes you may not seem to understand it, but when a person becomes born again, it is the Spirit of God that births us into this new life. It is just like a mother who gives birth to her child, and the child gets so attached to that mother, and the mother understands the child so much, and the child understands the mother. It's the kind of relationship that we give with the Holy Spirit of God, because he birthed us into this spiritual life, and we understand him. You see, when I first came to faith in God, I remember I was a young man, young boy in the church in my teenage, and I was sitting there, and the pastor was preaching, and I'm crying sitting in the church. It was so embarrassing. I'm sitting in church crying, and my friends are looking at me, and I'm so embarrassed, but I can't stop the tears because the word of God was hitting me so hard, and the word of God felt so good as it came forth. And so I walk out of church feeling so embarrassed, and I went and talked to another mature Christian about it, and I said, why was I crying in church? He said, I said, what's so embarrassing? He said, no, it's not embarrassing. He said, that's the relationship that you have with the Spirit of God. And he works with us in different ways. And he works with us in different forms. And some of you sitting here this morning, your hearts are melting as the Word of God comes forth. This is exactly what it is. This tells you that the Spirit of God lives inside of you. You have a relationship with him. And then because of this relationship, we can stand and wave our hands in church. Because of this relationship, we can feel good when we sit in worship services this morning like this, because God's Spirit have breathed us into this new life. And then because of the relationship that we have with him, we can have that assurance this morning, knowing that we are children of God. That's because of the Holy Spirit works. He's in this room this morning. And you know why he's here? He is here to keep us comforted. He is here to give us that assurance that we belong to God. As we go through the storms of this life, Paul said in the book of Romans chapter 8, what shall separate me from the love I have found in Jesus Christ? He said, not things present, not things to come. Nothing will be able to separate me from the love that I have found in Jesus. The reason he says that is because of that relationship that the Holy Spirit brings to our hearts. And he comes and brings us that assurance. And he lets us know that when we're going through storms, that God is with us, even to the very end of the age. God is with us. Jesus said, I will be with you always, even to the very age. We don't see our Lord in person, but he's here in person of that Spirit, the one who lives on the inside of us, who brings us comfort when we are in sorrow, who brings us peace when we are in pain. He is the one. He is Jesus Christ. He represents the Lord, and he is with you this morning. Give God a hand of praise for his presence. And lastly, I want to talk about the assurance that we have in Jesus being called children of God. Look in Romans 8:17. It says, now, if we are children, we are heirs, heirs of God and co-heirs with Christ. Co-heirs with Christ? Do you know what that means to be co-heirs with Christ? Think about co-pilot in the plane, all right? We're co-heirs with Christ, and God has taken Jesus and placing his name above every name. He's given him all authority. And Paul comes and lets us know that we have been seated above in heavenly places with Jesus Christ. That's because God has made us co-heir with Christ. Folks, just think about the blessings that come as a result of us being in this kind of position. We are heirs of God. Inheritors of the eternal glory of God is what this text is telling us. And this is why in the book of Revelation this morning that was read, we read in Revelation 7 verse 9. After this, John says, he says, I look and there before me was a great multitude that no one could count from every nation, tribe, people, language, standing before the throne and before the Lamb. And they were wearing white robes and were holding palm branches in their hands. Look at this. He's talking about when we get to heaven, what is going to be like? What is going to be like? There will be a multi-ethnic fellowship happening in heaven. People from every nation, from every tribe will be there giving praises and glory to the Lamb who is seated on the throne. And this is what we can hardly wait for. This is what the church is about. This is the hope of glory that we cannot wait for. That day when we get to heaven, what it will be like. And in the last verse of Revelation 7, in verse 16 and 7, it says, never again will they hunger. Never again will they thirst. The sun will not beat down on them, nor any scorching heat. For the Lamb at the center of the throne will be their shepherd. And he will lead them to springs of living water. And God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. Imagine this. This is the time the Bible is talking about of total peace and rest. And when we celebrate a day like this, we remember those who have gone before us. And how they have entered into this rest. All right? And no more have to worry about the pains and sufferings of this life. But I'm talking about those who have placed their hope in Jesus Christ are the ones I'm talking about. Today, the world we are living in have fooled us to believe that everyone who dies rests in peace. And every time a person dies, they write there, R-I-P, rest in peace. That's a lie from the devil. Not everyone who dies rests in peace. There are some, even though everybody carries the acronym RIP, but not everyone is resting in peace. We have to understand this. Some are regretting in pain. And that's what that RIP means. Because some folks are going and spending eternity in a place called hell. Because they did not put their trust in Jesus Christ. But this scripture in the book of Revelation, and we're celebrating All Saints Day, it goes to all who have placed the hope in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. All who have been washed by the blood of the Lamb, Jesus Christ. Those are the people who will spend eternity with him in heaven. And I pray that as you receive these words from God this morning, it encourages your faith to keep steadfast in God, to keep clinging to the cross of Jesus Christ. Because this is the reason why we're here. The reason why the church is established is to wait for that time when God will say, "Welcome home, my good and faithful servant." That's why we are coming here. That's why we continue this fellowship. We continue on this pilgrim journey, because we know that in as much as there is a place called heaven, there is also a place called hell. And we are not going there because we've been washed by the blood of the Lamb. I pray that these words from God encourage your hearts this morning. Keep you steadfast in your faith, knowing always, listen, that God will never bring you this far and leave you. God will never teach you to swim and let you drown. He won't build his home in you and move away or lift you up and let you down. Let us rise.